Let's read two verses in John chapter number 12. And we're thinking on the subject, secret disciples. John 12 and 42 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Fear is a terrible thing. Now, the fear of God is right, but all other fears are wrong. The Bible actually says that fear hath torments. Fear is a tormenting thing. It's an enemy. Fear keeps us from doing many times what we know that we ought to do. Like witnessing. We know we should. Many times the opportunity presents itself. We even sense of an inner constraint. And yet, many times, we do nothing. What are we going to do about this thing of fear? Well, I'm going to give you the antidote to fear here at the very last, but we want to consider these two verses that I just read. It says in Proverbs that the fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear will make a slave out of you. It's a terrible master. It will bring you into captivity. So, fear is a bad thing. In here in John chapter number 12, we have a case in point of all these chief rulers who are afraid. They have given themselves over to the fear of the religious leaders, the Pharisees specifically. Now, you know, the Pharisees were very religious, but they were not saved. They could quote the law. They prayed publicly. They wore the clothes. They loved the titles. But they rejected Christ. If you ever want an illustration of the fact just how religious somebody can be and still not be a Christian, just look at the Pharisees. Amen. Now, they used the name of God all the time, and they knew the Bible. But they rejected Christ because, for one thing, he was a threat to their tradition. And they rejected him outright. So here, there's some interesting things. Is it not interesting that it says here that some of the chief rulers got saved? Notice it says a lot of them got saved. Among the chief rulers also, many. And the Bible never exaggerates like we do. Many believed on him. But they wouldn't tell anybody. They would not confess him openly and publicly because they were afraid. We're reminded of Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible says that he was afraid of the Jews. He was a secret disciple. And I'm glad for the good that he did. You know, he and Nicodemus buried the Lord, and that's altogether commendable. But up until that time, nobody knew he was a Christian. And I think there's something very basically wrong about being an invisible Christian.
Amen.
Silence is golden sometimes, but most times it's yellow. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Turn back a few pages, please. There's a lot in the Gospel of John about this. I just want to read one verse in chapter number 7. Jesus came and he became so well known that everybody had to make a decision about him one way or the other. Everybody heard about him. 7:13 says, "Howbeit no man spake openly of him." Why? For fear of the Jews. So fear has caused many people down through the years not to speak openly about him, not to confess him publicly. It's one thing to believe on him in your heart, and that's how you're saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But what should follow then is confession with the mouth. And I don't believe that a person who's really saved will deny the Lord publicly or openly. But I do know that fear can come in and keep people from saying what they ought to say and doing what they ought to do. One of the best things that can happen for a new Christian, for a brand new Christian, is to tell somebody. Amen. Tell somebody. That makes it more real to them and real to those around them also. Well, I think it's just plumb cowardly of these rulers here. They are rulers. They're political leaders. They have some position and clout, but they're so afraid of the Pharisees that they won't confess the Lord openly. They say, well, it might cost me. I might not get reelected. It might cause me a loss of my status in society if I'm branded one of those Nazarenes, one of those followers of Jesus. They weren't asking what's right. They were asking what's popular. And when you start asking that question, you're on the wrong path. Because all that matters is what's right. They say, well, if we start confessing Jesus openly, then we might be put to death. Looks like that's the way he's headed. And we know for sure that they're going to put us out of the synagogue because that's what they did. And it says it right here. So they think about how they could possibly be humiliated and misunderstood and lose some status and not get reelected and maybe even be fined, imprisoned, or put to death. And so they decide that they'll just be a bunch of chickens and not tell anybody that they're Christians. Know anybody like that? You think everybody's passed off the scene like that? Oh, no, no. Fear is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Now, if it was not popular to be a Christian when Jesus was here, you better know that it's not been popular ever since. In fact, you can study history. I love history. And I think I've studied some history. I've studied enough to know that it's never been popular to be a Christian. Never. Even when Jesus was here. Why has it not never been popular? Well, for one thing, because being a Christian means turning your back on the world and sin and the devil. And most people won't do that. Remember when Paul was in Rome in Acts chapter 28? He wanted to meet with the Jews there. And they basically said to him, we don't know much about you and we don't know much about this Christianity that you've come teaching and preaching. But we do know one thing. Go home and read that. Acts 28. We know one thing about this religion started by this man, Jesus Christ. People are against it everywhere. It is everywhere spoken against. That's what the Bible says. Even in those early days. So if you think being a Christian is going to make you popular, you are sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. God's people will love you and pray for you and encourage you. But the world and religion will despise the ground you walk on. Why? Because if you're right, they're wrong. And they know it. That's why people who are sinners despise you and you ain't done nothing to them. Why? Because every time they look at you, their conscience says to them, that's what you ought to be. You ought to be saved. Amen. You remember? Some of you remember being lost and remembering that that's why you resented Christians, because they reminded you of God. They reminded you of the church. They reminded you that you, up to that time, had rejected the gospel. God's people have always been hated and murdered by the tens of millions. By and large, we didn't deserve any of that. We didn't go around breaking the law. No, we just reminded people that they needed to be saved by our lips and lives. And so it's never been popular to be a Christian, and it wasn't here. And these folks, many of them, they were secret disciples. But it was wrong to be a secret disciple. I don't care what their reason or reasons may be. It's wrong and it's totally unnecessary to be a fearful Christian. You just think about all the good these men could have done. They were chief rulers. They were saved. They could have promoted the gospel. They could have done a lot of good. But they didn't do it because they were afraid and they cared more about what people thought about them than what God thought about them. Isn't that what it says in 43? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's what it says. That's Christian. And it's still true today. It's a great temptation. And it's a happy day in your Christian life when you die out the public opinion and the applause of men and the prestige of the world. You know, I could stand here tonight and name you 10 of the most famous preachers of the last generation and how they all sold out for fame and fortune. And how they're not preaching what they used to preach. And it's sad, it breaks my heart. Some of them were my heroes. You know what happened? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It meant more to them what people thought. Sold out Bible doctrine and Bible practice. Many of them used to preach out of the King James Bible, used to preach salvation. Jack Van Impe could quote the New Testament. Now he's a charismatic. James Robinson as well, and many other famous men. I think that's sad. I think that's sad when a Christian wants the world to pat him on the back. Since when are we trying to gain the praise of men? We should be seeking the praise of God. It doesn't matter what people say, if we don't have the praise of God, then have we not failed altogether? So these chief rulers made a raw deal, I'll tell you that. They had the pat on the back from the Pharisees, and I'm sure there were occasions where the Pharisees said to these fellows, "We need to get rid of that Jesus. He's causing trouble in this country." And those men in their hearts believed on the Lord and did not say. Did not say what they really felt and what they knew was the truth. Because they wanted the praise of men. There's an award they give to religious people. It's called the Templeton Award. And it comes, you get $1 million if you get that award. But also, if you get that award, then you have compromised and you have said that all religions are basically the same and it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And you just go home and Google that and see all the men that have won the Templeton Award. And that's a modern day temptation for religious leaders to sell out and say, "You know, I think I'll take $1 million and throw my Bible out the window." And that's what they've done. That's exactly what they've done. And it's a mighty sad thing. Well, these fellas were afraid of what it was going to cost them. And sure, it would have cost them. And when you study the Bible, you know that it cost Jesus his life, and every one of the 12 disciples died as a martyr. I don't know about John. Some say he was boiled in a pot of oil. I don't know. Definitely all the rest of them shed their blood for their faith. It cost them. It cost them persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It'll cost you. It cost a lot more in other places in our world tonight. Back before the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in America, before the freedom of religion was enshrined in our Constitution through a bunch of Baptists, thank God, Roger Williams and others, convinced James Madison that people should not be fined or punished because of their religion. Did you know that Baptists were fined, whipped, and imprisoned in America before 1776, the Protestants brought that over from England. The Presbyterians and Anglicans harassed Baptists for many, many decades. That's a matter of history. Patrick Henry stood up for us in Virginia and said, basically, he said, these men are in prison for preaching the gospel? Is that a crime? Well, it was, as far as some of them were concerned. I'm just saying, there's been persecution. That's coming back in 60 countries in our world tonight. If you say I'm a Christian, you probably won't get a job. You'll probably be fined, imprisoned, or put to death. You just look at what's happened in Sudan in the last 10 years. Christians by the tens of thousands have been murdered by the Muslims. And it's always been that way. I've been praying for one well-known Christian in prison, Brother Gayo, a Christian lawyer. He's been in prison in China now for over a year. Thank God enough people wrote to the Chinese government that it let him make a phone call to his wife a few weeks ago. She hadn't heard from him in a year. That's happening today. What did he do? He just wants freedom of religion in China. And he's been in prison. And he's just one of many. So I'm saying it will cost you something. And listen, anything that doesn't cost you, you probably won't value very much anyway. You ever been called a name? Somebody ever told you to mind your own business? Ever called you Holy Joe, Holy Roller? I remember one time years ago, we were knocking on doors in this totally Catholic community, and these boys and girls were on the streets, and they came up to us, and they said, "All right, now are you Mormons, or are you Jehovah's Witnesses, or are you Bible Thumpers?" And we said, "Bible Thumpers, that's what we are. We're Bible Thumpers." It's all right. Out of the three choices, what would you say? What's a Bible thumper? It means somebody who insists that we go by the Bible. They'll call you that. All kind of names. You just better, it just comes with the territory. It's alright. Some of you probably been called everything in the book. Count it all joy. Love them anyway. When they get saved, they'll love you. They'll come back to you and apologize for how they treated you. I could tell you a number of folks I went to school with and how they've come back to me through the years and said, "I laughed at you in school, but I appreciate you witnessing to me." So, it's going to cost you something. So just be prepared. Position, friendships. I believe that's why Mike Huckabee's not our president tonight. He was too much of a Christian. That's my personal opinion. I'm entitled to my personal opinion. He's a Baptist preacher. And it cost him the presidency to say, this is right and this is wrong. But I'd rather be not elected than to be elected and be a liberal compromiser. Amen. Amen. Amen now means I know that. So if you know what I know, you can say amen. You will not be popular being a Christian. Can you imagine all these countries where the earthquakes come and the tsunamis? And you know what their governments say to our government? We'll take your help, but we don't want no missionaries. We don't want that gospel. They've made that very plain. They'd rather their people starve to death than to have a copy of the Bible. If that ain't the devil, what is? That's the pure devil right there. Let their people starve to death and die from lack of medical help instead of, especially these Muslim countries. And that's a mighty sad thing. Well, these fellows were silent. God help us not to be silent. The atheists aren't silent. The liberals are not silent. The Muslims are not silent. The Mormons are not silent. The only people silent tonight is the people that know the truth. Bible-believing Christians seem to be the quietest when we're the only ones that has the truth. Everybody else ought to be quiet and sit down and listen. Amen. So much is at stake and souls are at stake, and we've got too good a news to be quiet about it. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. And it is a sin to do nothing. And the Bible says, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. If they call you a broken record, that's fine. That's a good place to be broken. Amen. Good place. I like what they used to do years ago out in the desert when somebody found water. When somebody found water, he would shout to the top of his lungs, "Water!" That was good news. That might save somebody's life. And everybody that heard it repeated it, "Water, water, water." You can live without a lot of things, but you're not going to make it without water. Brother, we have found something and we need to let people know Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let the Bible says, Revelation 22:17, let the bride say, "Come." The Spirit says, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come and take of the water of life freely. That even implies that let the sinner tell it. Let everybody tell it. Let everybody say, "Come and be filled. And be saved and be cleansed." I'm closing with this illustration. I like what one preacher did. He went to the Holy Land and he saw these bunch of fellows, and he just knew they were Arabs and Muslims, and so he wanted to preach to them. So he did. He preached to them for a solid hour. And when he got done, the tour director said, "Good message, preacher, but they don't speak English. They didn't understand the words you said." Well, I don't know if he had known that before, if he had a priest or not. He just had to tell them. When we were going into Egypt, they told us, I said, "Now you can't speak Egyptian, they can't speak English. So they said, just smile. Just smile." So a smile can go a long ways. You know that? You just notice tomorrow if you see anybody smiling, you'll ask yourself, what are they up to? That's right, because nobody smiles anymore. But a Christian should smile. We have something to smile about. We do not have to be afraid. The antidote to fear is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For when they were filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts, they were bold. They were courageous. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you ever find yourself fearful, you just go to the Lord and tell Him about it and ask Him to fill you up with some courage. And He will. And there's no other way to overcome fear but by the direct help of the Lord. Amen. Do not be a secret disciple. Do not sell out like these chief rulers did. Do not seek the praise of men. Seek the praise of God. Just before we come around and pray, I heard today, I never heard this before, but they were talking about 911. They said, this fellow works for one of the fire departments. He said, when you call 911 from Taylorsville, he said, that goes to Atlanta, Georgia, and Atlanta, Georgia sends it right back to whoever in Taylorsville. He said, that takes place so quick that that actually is moving at 1 million miles an hour. Pretty fast, isn't it? And when I heard, I said, I only know one thing faster than that, and that's prayer. Amen. That's right. When you say Father, He hears you right away, wherever heaven is. If it's a million